Praise be to God indeed. The reading from the gospel this morning is from the gospel of Mark chapter 8. Thus reads the word. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. You can imagine that, amen? Peter took Jesus and rebuked him. May not this happen to you, Lord. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called a crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit then to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ indeed. What a wonderful word. A challenging word for many of us. Would you repeat after me? "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Now imagine that, taking that really to heart, right? "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." This is from Psalm 119. Indeed, taking the word of God to heart so that we will not sin against God and live a righteous life before God. The scripture this morning, of course, speaks to the issue about us being disciples and what it means to be a disciple. We sort of have some confusion sometimes about what the idea of discipleship is. And many times, and this is my complaint. Perhaps it's just my complaint. And perhaps you have all this resolved. But I have an issue every time I hear the word disciple and people calling, people in the church calling others disciples. For you see, what I've experienced is that we have diluted that expression so much that we don't know exactly what it means to be a disciple. For many people, the idea of expressing the word that I am a disciple of Christ, or, the people who go to church are disciples of Christ, or the idea that, if you accept Jesus, your Savior, you are a disciple of Christ. And that basically means it all, right? You accept Jesus, you have faith in Jesus, you are a disciple. But, I think we have talked about this a little bit in the past, right? Because the idea here of being a disciple, is not simply the idea that we have been developing in the last 200 years about what it means to be a disciple. For you see, in the first century, when you were a disciple of someone, you were somebody who were following someone. Amen? So when you were following someone, it meant that you were experiencing with this person what it meant to believe what he believed, to do what this person did, so that you were walking in his steps and you were doing the things he would do, and you were learning about what this individual taught. So that's why we hear in the ancient world how people were disciples of Plato or disciples of Aristotle or disciples of any other philosophers of the time and many other people in the time. When people call themselves to be disciples of someone, these people basically live with them as the disciples of Jesus lived with him. Amen? So we know that there was a way of life, that there was a way of being, but not only that. Amen? Not only that. It was not simply a matter of knowing, of just living with somebody. It was not simply that you live in the same house and you share the same food and you had a wonderful experience being with that person that was your teacher. It was also that you were actually learning to be like that teacher. Amen? You were growing and learning to become just like the teacher, so that when you were sent off on your own to teach whatever you have learned from that teacher, you will be teaching what you learned from your teacher. Amen? So you will not be going out to teach your own stuff. You were going out to teach what you learned from that teacher. And so it implied then at the time that you were actually going to be imitating this person in all things. Imitating this person in all things. To the point of imitating this person to the point of if life was also to be given, to also offer your life. So you see, when we talk about the idea of becoming a disciple, when we talk about the idea that we are followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, the idea here is that when we say we follow Jesus, it's because we want to be disciples of Jesus. And this is what Jesus keeps telling the crowd and the people who are coming behind him, right? If you want to be my disciple, you are supposed to do what? Huh? Deny yourselves. Take up your cross and follow. Amen? So this was not a simple thing about saying, hey, I believe in Jesus. Amen? Are we clear? It was not a simple thing about saying, I believe in Jesus that make me a disciple. Is if I believe in Jesus and I live the way of Jesus, then I live like Jesus, I act like Jesus, I model and shape my way of being, my life, I will shape it in the way that Jesus is and what he teaches. And that means that then I'm putting my life on the line. Amen? That's why when Jesus says, you know, if you want to follow me, anyone who wants to follow me, anyone must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, for some of us, of course, who hear the idea, you know, take up your cross, you know, we sort of go to the point of, you know, you're taking up your cross, so you put your cross in the morning, nice golden cross, silver crosses, right? You just put it on and say, you know, cool, you know, it looks great, right? But that's not what Jesus meant. Amen? That's not what Jesus meant. When Jesus said to the disciples and to the crowd, he says, if anyone wants to follow me, let them take up their cross. Deny themselves and follow me. In the ancient world, especially in the first century world in which Jesus grew up, and that we hear about in the New Testament, the idea of taking up the cross was a call that was received by the people who were the zealots, the Sicarius. Those who have been confronting the Roman Empire by military force, and the call that came out of that movement or those movements in Israel was a call that says to the people who wanted to follow in their steps, to the people who wanted to join their movement was take up your cross. Because they knew that the cross, meaning the instrument of torture and death that the Roman Empire would be using to put to death those people who confront the empire, was going to be placed on a cross. Now today we glorify the cross and we paint it as a beautiful thing and we use it in our sanctuaries and we use it everywhere as a place, as a thing to look and realize, you know, this is our symbol, right? And it is. And it is. It is our symbol. But we have taken so much out of that cross that it means very little to what it originally meant to the Christian church. See, because when Jesus said to the disciples, take up your cross, he meant it. He knew the implications of what it meant to take up the cross. It was not simply that you were going to become some follower of some philosophical idea. It was not something that you will do as, you know, well, I just believe something different from now on. And that's okay because, you know, we all can believe whatever we want, right? Now, this is the mentality of the 20th century. You know, our mentality and our wonderful liberal mindset in the 20th century, 21st century, where we just, you know, we can believe whatever we want. And we think that that's what Jesus means. But no, no. Here the implications is completely deeper than that. Because the implication was, if you were going to be a disciple, if you were going to be a follower of Jesus, you needed to take up your cross. Meaning you needed to be willing to take up the cross that the people will give their lives on. So you knew that you were saying and doing and living in a certain way. A way that was not necessarily what the Roman Empire wanted for people in the Jewish community. For the people who lived in Jerusalem, for the people who lived in Israel. People who did not accept necessarily what the empire had to say. And they knew that by not agreeing with the empire, they needed to be willing to take up the cross. That, of course, is a very serious dedication. Amen. That is indeed a very challenging thing. It's not simply a matter of saying, I believe in Jesus and everything is hunky-dory. Amen. No, 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 no. Jesus was calling his disciples to a serious commitment of life and death. When Jesus was calling the disciples and said to the disciples, I want you to follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, you must be willing to take up the cross, deny yourselves, and then follow me. Because it will take everything that you have. It will take everything that you are to follow Jesus. Are you getting this? Now, this is a big difference. Amen? It's a big difference from simply saying, oh, you know, if you just believe in Jesus, everything is going to be okay. You'll be fine. You believe in Jesus. The Lord will do the rest for you. You believe in Jesus. You have faith in Jesus. God is going to do everything else for you. And God will give you all the things you need to so that you can be a disciple of Jesus. But you see, Jesus didn't start with that place. Amen? Jesus did not start with the place of saying, oh, just believe in me. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and you will be able to do all the things that I'm asking you to do. We sort of have reversed that idea in today's church by saying to people, well, you know, just believe in Jesus and Jesus will help you to become a disciple. And although we believe that, right? But Jesus didn't start in that place. Amen? Jesus did not start telling people, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. You just believe, and then I'll take care of the rest. No. No. The challenge was precisely, if you believe, if you say you believe, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. Deny yourself, and then you can follow me. I mean, that is serious stuff. Amen? Because now we're put in the place where we have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. We know that there are some things we need to leave behind. Amen? We know there are some things we need to leave behind because the only way for us to follow Jesus is by being willing to do what Jesus is asking us to do. And to live the way that Jesus wants us to live. That, of course, is a complete different ballgame than what we have been taught for many years about this gospel. It is good news precisely because God has brought the good news to the world. Through the life of Jesus who have then taught us how to live, what it means to live in the will of God. There was a student, well, there was a young man who wanted to go to college. And in his journey, in his desire to go to college, he This is during the time of the Depression in the 30s. And his family didn't have much. And his parents lived in a farm. And so not exactly able to put together a lot of money for their child to go to school, to go to college. They were trying to get a loan at the bank. So they went to the bank, presented themselves, and the bank the manager of the bank says, you know, we have some requirements for people to, when people apply for a loan, and that's that you need to have some kind of collateral, right? So you need to have something so that we can, you know, lend money based on what you have. And these people didn't have anything. And so they couldn't get the loan. So they went to another place where they thought that they might be more flexible in terms of their lending practices, but it seemed that it was the same thing. They didn't have a collateral, so they couldn't get a loan to send their young man to school. So as they have basically just decided that this is not going to work, and the child, the young man was, you know, frustrated, he and his dad were doing something in the town, and all of a sudden a truck comes into the house, to their home, and it starts unloading things from their truck, and they also start loading up a piece of furniture, and this piece of furniture was happened to be the mother's piano. So the mother sent the piano. The guy, the driver, goes and gives her some money, a $20 bill, a $10 bill, and a $5 bill, so $35, so that her son could go to college. And of course, it was the 30s, so, you know, things have changed a lot. Amen? Things have changed a lot. But at this time, of course, this young man could have gone to college with having just $20. That would have taken him pay tuition and his books and so on. So the mother was crying unconsolably. She has sold the most precious possession she had. She had been willing to give it all so that her son could have his dream come true. Sometimes we think about what it means to follow Jesus, and sometimes we forget that to follow Jesus also implies sacrifice. That to follow Jesus implies that we are willing to sacrifice ourselves in the process to follow. See, we have been sold this bill of goods in the Christian church that to follow Jesus simply means that we simply come to church and we have a great time and we have a joyful time in the church. But I need you to understand clearly that the message of the gospel is that actually we are called to a militancy of life where we are called to dedicate ourselves to Jesus, to dedicate our lives completely to the project that God has intended, that God is calling on us to dedicate ourselves completely to this project of bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, which implies that we are dedicating ourselves to bring into this world the values of the kingdom of God. The values of the kingdom that we have spoken about here before, and we have described as justice, mercy, compassion, love. Values of the kingdom that we are then, of course, have been called to say, this is the things that God wants for this world, where we speak about doing justice and showing kindness and loving the people around us, irrespective of where they were come from, irrespective of where their background is. It implies indeed a different way of life. One of the things that I appreciate about the walk to Emmaus, for those of you who have not been to a walk to Emmaus, is that calling to discipleship. That calling to discipleship. The calling to discipleship, meaning a calling to follow Jesus with all its implications. The implication being that we are called to follow this Jesus to the ultimate consequences of what it means to give our own lives for the kingdom of God. Giving our own lives to bring the message of salvation to the world. Now, this is an amazing message from God for all of us. For the implication is that there is a better world possible, for God has already put this in motion. And this God, as we were saying last week, this God has called us, you and me, you and I, God has called us to be part of this mission of bringing this kingdom of God forward. But you need to know the price. Amen? You need to know the consequences. You need to know that God is indeed asking you and asking me, asking all of us to surrender everything to Him. Imagine that. Not just the 1 hour on Sunday, or the 2 hours of the week you spend, or the 3 hours you might spend because you go for different committees in the church, and you come and rehearse on Wednesday for the choir, which is a wonderful blessing. Amen? But it's not just that. You understand what I'm saying? It's an utter, complete surrendering of everything we have and everything we are, surrendering that to the hands of the living God. And dedicating our lives completely to serving this God in the proclamation of the good news that this Jesus brought to us. Now that is discipleship. It's that utter, full dedication to live the way of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I know this is hard to grasp, but I need you to understand. We have said it here before, but I think it's something important we need to keep insisting. It is not simply about your statement of faith. Amen? It's not simply for you to say, stand up and say, I believe in Jesus. Because we have many people who say, I believe in Jesus, and they don't believe in Jesus. Amen? There are many people who stand up in church and say, they believe in Jesus, and they go out into the world and continue living their crappy lives. Amen? I don't mean crappy because they have, difficulties in life. No. I mean crappy lives because they mistreat their neighbors. I mean crappy lives because they go out into the world and they insult every Tom, Dick, and Harry that they find once they leave church. That's what I mean, crappy lives. Because that is not the way of Jesus. Amen? So when we come to this place, it's not simply a matter of saying, I believe. As we have said here many times, it's about actually taking this all, the entire challenge that is brought to us by Jesus, and grasping this and grabbing this and saying, I want to be like Jesus. No excuses about I can't do that, because God knows what you can do. Amen? You don't need to tell God what you cannot do. I believe that God knows already what you cannot do. So here the question is, are we willing to give it our all to follow Jesus? For that is what it takes to be a follower of Jesus. Discipleship is the path. Discipleship is the path for those who want to be good stewards of God's resources. Because when we commit to following Jesus, we commit to be His disciples. We commit to learn what Jesus taught. We commit ourselves to the process of constant learning about what Jesus taught, so that we can be shaped and reshaped in the image of Christ. Because when we say that we are indeed to be shaped and reshaped in the image of Christ, it's not simply that you look like Jesus. Have a beard, have a long hair, our usual mythological idea about how Jesus looked. No. It's not about looking like Jesus. It's about doing like Jesus. It's about being like Jesus in the way we live, in the way we walk, in the way we speak to each other, in the way we treat the people who come around us, in the way we treat the immigrant, in the way we treat the gay and lesbian folks in our communities, in the way we treat every Tom, Dick, and Harry we find in our communities. No exceptions about how do we treat each other, but indeed, how do we love each other and how do we care for everyone who is around us, just like Jesus did. Just like Jesus did. I know this is not exactly the easy path. Amen? It never was meant to be. We have tried to make this the easy path so that people can just take this journey as, you know, oh, we'll just need to come and, you know, just have a good time and we come and do things and wonderful. But actually, it was not meant to be the easy path. It was clearly established to be the challenging path. For to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, it meant a life-gripping commitment to his way of life, to his message of salvation for the whole world. That is what discipleship implies. So there is a path. Our path to discipleship is a call to surrender all that we have, all that we are, absolutely everything. If you feel you're not willing to do that yet, pray to God. Amen? Pray. For indeed, our God is waiting for us. As I have said here many times, as God is seeking to be in relationship with each and every one of us. Amen? This God who is seeking to be in relationship with us is seeking to indeed come into our lives and continue to transform our lives, to for our lives to be shaped and reshaped into the image of Christ. So pray for that guidance. Pray for that direction. But pray that you understand that if you want to follow, if you want to follow, you must deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and then come and follow Jesus. Discipleship is the path to live the way that God wants us to live. Amen.